Disaster recovery plans, they're kind of like that insurance policy you hope you never have to use, right?
Exactly. You never want to actually need it, but having it just in case, it's huge EE for any organization.
Absolutely. But a plan on paper is one thing. Knowing it'll actually work when disaster strikes, that's a whole other story.
It really is.
And that's where disaster recovery plan testing comes in, which, lucky for us, is what we're diving into today.
Yeah, this is the real deal. Figuring out if you're prepared or, well, if you're going to panic when things go sideways.
And to help us navigate this essential but sometimes daunting topic, we've got you.
Always happy to be here.
So, where do we even begin with this whole testing
Well,
thing?
just like think about fire drills, right?
Okay, I see where you're going with.
You don't just have everyone run out the door screaming every time, right? There are different levels of, I guess you could say, seriousness.
Makes sense.
Disaster recovery testing is the same idea. You got different levels of tests to match, what you're trying to achieve.
So no need to simulate the apocalypse right out of the gate.
Not unless you really want to.
Yeah.
But we can start a bit smaller. It's all about finding what works best for your organization and your specific needs.
That makes me feel better already. So walk us through these different levels, starting with, I guess, the most basic.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So level one, think of it like Disaster Recovery 101. It's the read-through, or sometimes called the checklist test.
Okay, so like skimming the textbook before the big exam.
Pretty much. It's
Yeah.
all about making sure everyone on the team, they actually know the plan. What are their roles? Is all the contact info up to date? The basics.
So it's about making sure everyone's on the same page, especially if there have been any changes since the last time the plan was, I guess, dusted off.
Exactly. You don't want to be scrambling for a phone number that got changed 6 months ago when a server's melting down, right?
Oh, absolutely not. So once we've, I guess, check the batteries, so to speak. What's next?
All right, so level two. This is the walkthrough, sometimes called tabletop. Imagine your team, maybe with some coffee and donuts,
Always a plus.
and they're sitting down together and they're going to tackle a simulated disaster scenario. But here's the key. They're not just reading through the plan, they're actually talking through it.
Oh, so actually having to like think on their feet a little.
Yeah, it's about what would they do step by step if this specific event actually happened.
That's smart. I bet that uncovers a lot of those little details you might miss just reading it on your own.
Totally. And, in our source material, there's that detail about everyone leaving the building.
Oh, right, like a full-on evacuation.
Yeah. And that just shows these tests, they're not just theoretical, they can be really practical too.
It's about making sure the plan works in the real world, not just on paper.
Exactly. And speaking of real world, if the read-through is checking the fire alarm and the walkthrough is making sure everyone knows the fire escape route,
Then the next level is.
the simulation test, and that's like the actual fire drill. Alarms blaring.
Showtime. So now we're talking about actually putting some of those responses, those actions into practice.
Yep, in a controlled environment, of course. We're not trying to cause any real damage here, but it's about getting closer to the real deal.
So this might involve actually taking some systems offline temporarily, or maybe even like bringing in some operational staff who don't normally deal with these procedures to see how they handle the pressure.
Right, you got it.
So we're gradually increasing the intensity, the realism of the test as we go.
Exactly. We're building up to something.
Okay, I'm kind of hooked now. What comes after the simulation?
All right. So this one, it's the parallel test. Think of it like, okay, imagine a play, right?
Okay, I'm imagining.
And they're doing a show, big opening night, but they've got an understudy rehearsing on a separate stage, just in case.
Right, so the show can go on no matter what.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the parallel test, it's like that. You're using your designated backup location, your IT department's understudy stage, all ready to take over seamlessly if something happens on the main stage.
Wow, that is a good analogy. And it makes total sense because, let's be real, in a true disaster, you don't want to be figuring things out for the first time under pressure.
Not at all. So this way you can test your backup systems, your processes, all that in a near real-world scenario, but without actually taking your primary operations offline.
So, like a dress rehearsal with a safety net.
Pretty much. Imagine, let's say, your primary server just decides to take a nap, right?
Oh, the worst.
With a parallel test under your belt, your customers, they wouldn't even know anything was wrong. That's the power of this.
Okay, so you've covered everything from a simple review to a full-blown, like, understudy rehearsal. What's the final boss, the most intense level of testing?
Okay, so the final boss, the big kahuna, is the full interruption test. This is as close as it gets to a real disaster without actually.
Well, having a real disaster.
Right. We're talking about shutting down your operations at your primary site, like completely shifting everything over to your recovery site.
Wow, that is commitment.
It is.
And I'm guessing that level of preparedness, it takes serious investment, right? This isn't for everyone.
Yeah, you're talking about a pretty complex operation here. Lots of logistics.
So why would an organization choose to go through a full interruption test?
Because when it comes to things that are absolutely critical, the peace of mind that this test gives you, it's invaluable. It's knowing that no matter what, you can handle it. You're ready.
To weather the storm, whatever that storm might be.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about all these different types of disaster recovery tests, but something tells me there's more to it than just like flipping a switch and hoping for the best, right?
You got that right. A plan, even the most meticulously crafted plan, it's really only as good as the communication that supports it.
Oh, communication, that makes sense. It's like, what's that saying? Under pressure, you don't rise to the occasion, you fall to your level of training.
Exactly. Except in this case, it's your level of communication. Because in a disaster, clear and timely communication, that can be the difference between, well, a controls response and, utter chaos.
Yeah, you don't want people running around like chickens with their heads cut off when a server goes down.
It's not a good look. And speaking of not good, our source material actually breaks down the different stakeholder groups, the folks you absolutely need to keep in the loop during a potential disaster.
Oh, that's helpful. So, who are we talking about here? Who needs to know what and when?
All right, so first up, you've got your internal stakeholders. And this is like multiple levels, right? You've got your actual disaster recovery team, the folks on the front lines, they need to be in constant communication with each other.
Right, like a well-oiled machine.
Exactly. Then you've got your management team, the folks who need that high-level view. What's the impact on the business? What are we telling customers? That kind of thing.
The big picture.
Yep. And then, of course, you've got your general staff, everyone else. They may not need all the nitty-gritty technical details, but they need to know what's going on, what to expect, and how it might impact their work.
Right, because even if they're not directly involved in the recovery process, a disaster can still throw a wrench into everyone's day-to-day.
Exactly. And that's why tailoring your message to your audience is so important. No point in bombarding everyone with technical jargon if it's just going to go over their heads.
Agreed. Keep it simple. So we've covered the internal folks. What about external stakeholders?
Ah, yes, the outside world. So this could include your customers, obviously, your partners, anyone who relies on your systems or services. And depending on your industry, it could even involve regulators.
So, how do you even approach communicating with external folks, especially if, say, a test involves like actual service interruptions? That could be tricky.
It can be, but honesty and transparency are key. If you anticipate any disruptions, even for a short period, give people a heads up.
No one likes being caught off guard.
Exactly. Imagine a customer trying to access your website during a test.
Yeah.
And boom, error message. No warning, no explanation.
Not a good look. Talk about a way to lose trust fast.
Exactly. And, something people often overlook is the importance of communication after a test.
Oh, interesting. After. So not just a sigh of relief and we're done.
No. Post-test communication, it's crucial. This is your chance to thank people for their patience, highlight any successes, be upfront about any areas for improvement.
So it's about treating a disaster recovery test like any other important project. You debrief, you gather feedback, you strive for that continuous improvement.
Exactly. Because even if a test goes perfectly, there's always something to learn, always room to get better.
You know, it's funny how this whole disaster recovery thing, it really makes you think about more than just like servers and data centers, right?
It really does. It's like bigger picture stuff.
Exactly, because these principles, they apply to so much more, don't they? Like the communication piece, we could all use a little more of that in, well, every aspect of our lives, right?
Oh, absolutely. Proactive thinking, being prepared, it's not just for IT departments anymore.
So before we wrap things up, let's, throw this out to our listeners. Imagine just for a second
Okay, I like this.
that you could apply these disaster recovery principles, this whole mindset, to any part of your work.
Okay.
What area would benefit the most from a little what if, a little proactive preparation?
Ooh, that is a great question. Like just a thought experiment.
Exactly. Would it be that big project that's got a deadline looming?
Ooh, yeah.
Or maybe a client relationship, you know, one that needs a little extra TLC.
Always a good idea.
Or even just like how you manage your own to-do list, your own time.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because let's be honest, things don't always go according to plan, do they?
Never.
So what are the potential risks, the challenges that could throw you off course?
It's that what keeps you up at night.
Exactly. And then what steps can you take now, just in case?
Better to be prepared.
Right? Exactly. And I think that's the real takeaway here, isn't it? This isn't about being paranoid. It's about being, well,
Prepared.
yes. And, you know, sometimes that little bit of planning, it can make all the
Oh,
difference.
for sure. Between a minor inconvenience and, a total meltdown.
Exactly. Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to,
Wrap things up.
yeah. We've reached the end of our disaster recovery deep dive. We hope you found it insightful.
And empowering.
Yes, because you don't have to be a tech expert to appreciate the importance of being prepared.
It's about building resilience in your business, in your work, even in yourself.
So until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly,
Stay resilient.
see you next time.